Super excited about the series we're in, When the Enemy Attacks, because I don't know about you, but the enemy's attacking. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh yeah, yes. And so I just want to encourage you today that that is a good thing, that God will use that in your life probably more than anything else. I've just seen this over and over again. And so I want to jump into some scripture today about this. I'm excited about the story. Today's message is called Choosing Faith Instead of Fear. I'm a Texans fan. So today, I'm choosing faith instead of fear. No, we actually have a good team this year. I can't believe it. I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. I usually just complain, but they're actually good. So we'll see. I don't know how good they are yet, but we'll see. But, you know, but what I really love, Texas fans are great. Love you guys. But I love Cowboy fans, and here's why. Yeah. No, don't applaud too much. So here's why. Because somewhere around the second play of the game today, they'll have accomplished 5 yards, and when they do, you're going to turn to your buddy, and you're going to go, you know what? I think this is our year. I love that about you. I love that you have blind faith with no evidence. I love that. I encourage you, keep that up. It's wonderful. I need to let you know the last time that happened was in the 90s, but hey, it's okay. We're glad that you have faith. I love that for you. I really do. So, all right, there you go. I actually say it this way, go cowgirls. So anyways, okay, I'll stop. I feel division in the church right now, okay. I want to jump into the story. This is a powerful story where Moses, God speaks to Moses and says, hey, I have a promised land for you, right? They've just left Egypt, their slavery, now they're free, now they're on their own, but that's kind of scary too. They're like, we've never really had to make decisions on our own, what are we doing? And God's like, I have a promised space, a promised place for you, a promised destiny, a promised land. I believe God has a promised land for all of us. And many of us, God's already told us what that is. He's already spoken in our spirits, but maybe you're saying, I haven't seen it happen yet, you know? And so let's talk about that a little bit today. But Moses is told by God, this is your promised land. Then God tells him, Moses, get 12 spies together, one man representing each tribe of the 12 tribes of Judah or Israel. And so he says, get one from each tribe and have them go and sneak around and spy. They're called spies. They literally spied on the land and just check out the area. And I think this is also important too, that if God tells you this is your future, you should investigate it. You should be like, let me find someone who's already done what I want to do. Let me find someone who's already gone to that school or is currently there and see if they like their school. Let me talk to someone about this degree plan and talk to someone who's actually in that field now. You got your degree, but do you like the field, right? What is it like, right? What are the goods and bads? So when God is speaking, he's saying, go send your guys out to investigate. Now, this is important. Don't confuse investigation with whether or not God said it's yours. You may find some things you don't like, but God's like, I'll get you through that. I already promised you that. Just, you need to know what you're getting into. The Bible actually says when you want to build a tower or a bridge, count the cost. So you need to know, okay, like God's telling me this is yours, but you still need to know, here's the stuff you're going to run up against. You can overcome it, but you need to know about it. And so that's what God tells them. Hey, go spy out the land, come back and give us a report. So here's what happens when they come back and give the report. And this is game-changing decision that Israel made. And let's unpack it. Check it out. They told Moses, this is in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. They told Moses, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Maybe you heard that phrase before. Man, this place flows with milk and honey. That's from the Bible, okay? And he says, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak and the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Termites, all the ites. So it freaked them out. They're scared. They're like, they're all huge, right? They're like, I could have swore I saw Shaquille O'Neal walk by. I mean, they're massive, you know? So they're freaked out. Like, we're supposed to go fight these people. They look bigger than us. And so they're super freaked out. In the same way, today, we have now represented in the millennial generation and Gen Z, those two generations are the most fearful and anxiety-filled generation in all of our history. Did you know that? And so now, I'm not saying there's not things that my generation and those above me have done and had weaknesses. Oh, sure, we had them too. But fear wasn't one of them. Maybe sometimes it should have been, but it wasn't. And so a lot of young people are terrified of life. And the thing is, we made the mistake not realizing what we're doing. We gave them a device that then fed them fear every day and is still doing it. And that's why we're fearful. Because fear sells. And so that's what's happening. Right now, you're going to hear from both parties. Right now, if you don't vote for this person, candidate doesn't get in office, it's the end of democracy. It's like, no, I think democracy is our voting, so it won't be the end of democracy. You know, we're still going to vote, right? And so, but we're terrified of it. I don't get my guy. Everything's going to go bad. You know, actually, everything's going to go good or bad in your future based upon what you do more than who is in office. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It definitely matters, and I pray you vote. And, oh, I could go off on this today, but I won't. But I have strong opinions just like you do. But I want to encourage you to know that what's going to make the next 4 years better for you is your decisions. It's what you do or don't do. So maybe you're scared of the inflationites, the politicalites, and the complicationites. There's a lot of ites in our world, isn't there? There's a lot of things we're fearful of. Now, let me explain three levels of concern, and these are important. The first is called concern. The second one's worry, and the third one's anxiety. And so let's just talk about this. The first one's concern. I want to be real clear here. Those who are people that you have the gift of finding possible concerns, that is a gift. God gave you that. That's a quality. There's a personality type. There's a special gifting where people are good at seeing the potential threats and fixing it. That's a great quality. It's really good. We got multiple people on our team that are like, I think it's a great idea, Pastor. It's great. Here's some things that could go wrong. I'm like, okay, so let's mitigate that. That's a great thing. Nothing wrong with that. But then it can, if you're not careful, shift from there. So concern focuses on probable difficulties and results in action. That's what it should result in, right? And so if your stomach tells you you're hungry, how does it tell you? You get grumbling. You ever been sitting in a meeting with someone and all of a sudden it goes, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. That's embarrassing, right? You're like, what is going on, right? I've been there, done that, right? What's your body telling you? Your body's telling you, get up and eat something real quick. Right? Even if you just get a snack, just get something in your body. I need something. I need some energy, right? That's all it's telling you. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous for you to go, oh, I just heard my stomach growl. Something must be terribly wrong. I definitely shouldn't put food in it because that may go bad. You'd be like, oh, you're completely misconstruing a sign here. That's a very healthy sign. It's your body just telling you, hey, you need to be aware of this and fix it right now. In the same way, our minds has a fear mechanism, a concern mechanism. That's not a bad quality. That's called discernment in the Bible. And so if you've got discernment, I've learned. My wife has to get discernment. I listen to that. And when I don't, oh, it never goes good. And so I don't think it's just a gift my wife has. I think a lot of wives have that. So I've learned as a husband, that's a good idea. Again, I've certainly gone against that at times too. Generally not good. So there are a couple times when I think we should, and I really thought about it. I've taken your concern into account, but I just want to challenge you. This is a good quality, having concern. You look at the probable difficulties, then it's supposed to move you to action. Just like when your stomach growls, the action is get up and eat. When your mind goes, I don't know about this, you need to listen to that. That's a good thing, right? Or maybe, have you ever walked in a room or been in a situation publicly where you just thought, I don't feel safe? You ever had this happen to you, and you're like, I'm out of here. That is a wonderful quality God built in us. To know, get out of here. You ever been dating someone or maybe think about dating someone and you talk with them and you hear some things, you're like, wait, what? And you're like, nope, that's it, right? I need to be out of this, right? And so I want to encourage you, those are good things. But here's the problem. Worry focuses on circumstances beyond our control and results in inaction. So now we're worried about things, we're concerned about things that we can't control. So when you can control something, do something about it. If you can't control something, do your part, trust God with the rest. Okay? And so, but then worry becomes a habit, then now you have anxiety. Anxiety is more about feeling threatened or insecure in a general sense all the time. Let's say you're single, you're dating someone, and you start to get worried that maybe you like them more than they like you. Maybe you're falling in love with them and they're not so much in love with you. And now you're worried. Oh, I want to make sure everything's okay. And so I want to make sure I say the right thing. And so you get paranoid about it. And then, of course, guess what happens? Your paranoia leads to insecurity. Then, you know, I hate to break this to you, but insecurity is very unattractive. So you're actually making yourself unattractive when you do that to this person. And so surprise, surprise, they break up. The problem is now you're like, oh, was it me? Was it something I said, something I did? And the right response is, well, maybe there were some things you said and did. Change that and keep dating. Go back out and date. But this is what the response I get all the time in the HR from someone. And I don't mean this to sound cold. I'm just going to tell you this is what happens sometimes. I get this, he broke my heart. She left me. She was my world. There's no one else like them. And I'm like, okay, you think this is the only person in the world. When you get in your car and drive home today, you're going to pass 30,000 people. Here's the good news about the fact that someone broke up with you. Here's the good news. God's making more people every day. So you may be blowing up something that does hurt. We're not saying it doesn't hurt, but now guess what happens? You take that hurt with you, you internalize it, now you have anxiety about any date. Oh, I got to be perfect. I got to dress great. I got to be nice. I got to be sweet. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so you're paranoia, and you go into that date, and it ruins the date. So what you don't realize is your worry and your anxiety is now literally pushing people and opportunities away from you. So this is a big deal, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you become negative, fearful, scared, if everything is a crisis or a potential catastrophe. This can slow you down from great opportunity. So be careful there. So let's just dive in. The real enemy, number one, is unseen. It's in your mind. Now, you know, we've got this football thing going on today, right? We're tailgating. I love it. And I will tell you this, whatever game you watch, whatever team you support, if you watch a good quarterback, they always have to have amnesia, which means they throw a pick, they throw an interception, they make a mistake, but then they go out of the game and they realize, I got four more downs coming, get up like it never happened, and go throw the ball. And when you see them getting discouraged, guess what you'll watch? You'll watch the coach walk off the sideline of the game they're running, and they realize, that won't matter if I don't get his confidence back. So they'll go to him, and I know those coaches are saying, they're saying, hey, bro, I know you're scared right now. I know you're nervous because of the last downs. But let me tell you right now, you have the job. You're the first string of an NFL team, which means you're the man. You've got mad skills. You're getting paid millions of dollars. And so you got the right stuff. You can handle this. Now get back up as if nothing happened and get back out there. Does that make sense? Can I challenge you with something? We need to all have spiritual amnesia. Yes, we've all made mistakes. But last time I checked, the cross covered it. Jesus' grace covers it. So God's like, forget about all that. You got a great future. God has great things for you in your future, and focus on your future. Did you know research tells us that 85% of what we worry about never happens? 85%. But then you go, oh, I'm worried about that 15%. We always, maybe you've heard that number before, but did you know that research did a little digger deeping? Deeper digging. Sorry, I'm a professional speaker. Keep that in mind. Anyway, so, okay. They did deeper digging, and they found this out. Of the 15% of your worries that did happen, they talked to people who the catastrophe, the worry, the bad problem, the situation that could blow up did. And in interviewing people that had that experience, 97% of them said, you know what? It actually made me a better person, and I got through it just fine. That means there's only 3% chances out of 100 that you're going to run into something so catastrophic that it truly stops you. In other words, you're fine. You're going to be good. Oh, but we got World War III breaking out. Well, we've been through World War II and World War I, and we're still here. I'm not saying it could be bad, yes, but I'm saying trust God. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Here's what I'm saying. Number two, and this is really the point of the message. Make a decision to choose faith over fear. Now, look what happens. Then Caleb silenced them. So they're basically like, the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Thisites and all, they're huge and they're going to kill us, right? They're telling fear, right? This is our report's fearful. But then Caleb speaks up. It's actually Joshua and Caleb that feel this way. But Caleb speaks up. He's like, hey, guys, I saw the same thing you guys saw, and I didn't see it like that at all. And so this is what he says. He says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. He's like, we got this. We can handle this. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, now before you blow this off, oh, I know that scripture. No. That's the problem. You've probably heard it so many times, saw it on posters at football games, and so now it's lost its power to you. So please read this with fresh eyes and ears today. God says, when it comes to you, he says, I can do all this, all things through him who gives me strength. God just is saying, what's your situation? You can do it because I'm with you. I got this. You alone, maybe not so much. You with me, we got it. You plus God equals a majority. That's all you need. You got this. You can handle this. You got this. You can overcome this. You really, really can. And so make a decision, choose faith over fear. They both saw the same situation, and you say, well, but 10 of them thought it was bad. No, I know better than that. 10 of them didn't think it was bad. Probably 2 thought it was bad, and they convinced the other 8 it was bad on the way home, right? So it looked like 10, it was probably just 1 or 2 people. You know, I've seen this 100 times. Well, the board of directors or the elders, you know, in some churches, we don't have that here. Thank God our board of directors are full of faith. But boy, I've seen the opposite, you know, or the deacons, or let's take it to business. Oh, the committee, you know, they all think it's a bad idea. No, let me tell you what happened. The most grumpiest, loudest person in the room convinced everyone else. That's what happened. So we're all boiling down our decisions on the most fearful person in the room. How's that going to work out? That company or that organization or that church will do nothing based upon them. Well, it's better to be safe than sorry. I would say if you're too safe, you will be sorry. The biggest risk you can take is quit taking risks. God wants us to step out in faith. Now, take calculated risks. Take risks that are intelligent and researched. I'm not saying be blind and stupid. Like, do your research. When God told me we were going to start a church and it was going to thrive and it was going to grow and it was going to change the community, guess what? I read 70 books on how to start a church. And how to grow a church. I did my research before I even got here into town years ago. So I want to challenge you in the same way. Do your research, but still have faith. You got this. You can do this. You just have to choose faith. These 12 spies all saw the same thing. 10 of them decided off evidence that they saw. They were like, no, we saw it with our own eyes. We can't do it. 2 of them are like, we saw it with our own eyes too. We can do it. Which tells me it's not really about what you see in the world. It's how you see yourself. And so you're projecting your confidence or lack of confidence on the world. Like, oh, it's going to be so bad. We just can't do it. Think about someone that you know could do it. How are they specially gifted over you? They're not. They just have a different mentality. How many times have you seen someone that's really not that talented, but they become a very successful pop or rock star? You know, I mean, my friend used to be in the industry, and they said, yeah, we call those studio talent, which means the studio had to run it through all kinds of filters because they really weren't that talented. But yet they're making album after album after album. People are buying it up like it's, you know, like crazy. And so I just want to challenge you that it's not the best who get ahead. It's the risk taker who gets ahead. It's the person who has faith in themselves and faith in God that gets ahead. I just want to challenge you. It's not as complicated as you're thinking. Make a decision to choose faith over fear. Now, this is important. You got to know this too, though. Fear is contagious. Fear is contagious, but so is faith. And so look what happens next. Numbers 13, 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. So they took their view and preached it and convinced everyone around them, we can't do it. We're too small. There's no way. And so they spread fear. I got 2 questions for you here. Here it is. The first question. I want to challenge you with this. Are you getting fearful from someone close to you? Do you have someone every time you take an idea, they're like, oh, no, that'll go wrong. Oh, no, I know someone that tried that. It didn't work. Let me just tell you something. Someone has tried something that you want to do somewhere in the world and failed at it. And others have tried it and succeeded at it. So there's always evidence for whichever one you want to find. And so you just have to choose faith. And so maybe someone that loves you and they do it out of concern and love for you, oh, don't do that. Because they're fearful. They think nothing's ever worked out in my life. I want to make sure you don't try anything like I did. And so they're spreading their fear on you. But here's the worst question. Are you the one spreading fear? Oh, that's painful, I know. But could it be we don't mean to, but out of loving concern, we're shutting down every idea that our friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, you know, our small group attendees, whatever, and we've taken our fear and we spread it to them. I just want to challenge you with this notion. Don't spread fear. Spread faith. I want you to come in the doors of here and be reminded that you got God with you. You got this. You can handle this. You really can. God's got you, and he will lead you to success. He will lead you to victory. Now, there's a cost to your fear. I just need to warn you. Here's the cost of your fear. There's a financial cost. Think about something years ago that you were encouraged to invest in, but you were scared to do it. Where's that investment at now? Oh, that hurts. You're like, oh, pastor, don't remind me what I could have bought that house for 10 years ago. Don't remind me where that stock is today. If I'd have bought it 10 years ago, right? And so we're fearful, so it's probably cost you money. It's also pushing opportunity away from you. And so, hey, I got this opportunity. It's not going to come around again. You're like, oh, no, no, no. And so you push it off. And how about this? There's a time cost. How long are you going to have a sideways year after year until you realize the only people who have a better year do something different? So you're not going to get different results until you do something different. So it's costing you time. It's also relational cost. If you're negative about everything, guess what? People will quit coming to you with ideas. They're like, I already know what they're going to say. So your leadership, oh, this is painful, but I've seen it in my own life. When I'm fearful, my leadership credibility drops. When I'm full of faith, it goes up. Doesn't mean that everything works out. Oh, no, I got plenty of failures too. But when I attack it with faith, I mean, if I'm going to fail, it's going to be a glorious fail. I'm going to fail swinging. Does that make sense? Go for it. Because remember, the people who are the home run, I know we're doing football today, but the home run champions are also the strikeout champions. Did you know that? Same person. And so eventually you keep swinging for the fences. Eventually you're going to hit something. So I just want to encourage you, keep moving forward. Don't let the relational cost hit you and your leadership. And this is the most painful one, the generational cost. And this one's going to hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Maybe your parents were always risk averse, always scared to do anything new, always thought things were going to go wrong, so they never stepped out in faith. And so then you got that from them. It's costing you, but here's what's worse. You'll end up spreading that to your kids and your grandkids. Guys, I'm a grandfather. I can't believe that. I'm a father and a grandfather. But I will tell you this. And oh, by the way, I'm loving it. It's so fun. I love it. But let me just tell you this. I want to, as I get older, keep taking steps of faith so my kids say when I'm not around, man, dad, mom, they're still going for it. They're still believing God for more. They think they have more, I mean, they got more in the tank. I'm like, yeah, dude, let's go. I'm not done. I'm not even close to done. And I want my grandchildren to see it too and go, man, Papa B, that's my name. Papa B and honey, they ain't afraid. They're living by faith. God's using them. I want them to see that in my life. Here's why. Because if you live by faith or live by fear, either way, your kids and your grandkids will think that's their normal. So make sure their normal is living by faith. Check out this next thing. This gives, this is hilarious what's said next, but also kind of sad. And then they give it all away in this one line. Here it is. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. If I was Joshua or Caleb, I'd be like, really? I'm sorry, I was there with you. When did the land come and consume a human? I didn't see that. Could you tell me when you saw that? Like, they're just making stuff up now. They're like, they're big, they're huge. Then it goes from they're huge to the land will eat us. Like, I don't think we have evidence of land eating anybody, right? That's a little over the top. So now what happens is your fear is informing you and telling you, and this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen. And a lot of times it's like so ridiculous. Just listen to yourself for a second. Like there's no more opportunity because this one thing didn't work out? Like, everything's going to go wrong? What if everything goes right? What if a portion goes right and the portion goes wrong, but you win in the end because of that? So I just want to challenge you. Don't let that affect your faith. Still believe God. And then they said this line. This gives it away. Here it is. They said, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. How do they know how they looked to them? They were hiding the whole time. They were never seen. They're assuming that they saw them as small. You know why? Because they saw themselves as small. This is so important. Please hear this. Please write this down. A small view of you creates a small view of God. A small view of you creates a small view of God. God is telling you, I believe in you, therefore you should believe in you. Because I do. That's enough evidence right there. Oh, I'm not worth much. Well, you are worth the cross that Christ died on. So I think that means you're worth a lot. You're worth, there's no number we can put to it, how much you're worth in God's eyes. Just want to encourage you with that. And so, you ever known someone, this happened to me in high school, you ever known the guy that, like, when you're in high school, that was, you know, kind of frumpy, a little overweight, not the best looking dude, I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, he had a face that wasn't built for TV. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I'm just being honest here. But you see this guy, and you see him walking down the halls. What's up? And you're like, whoa, who does this guy think he is? Like, oh my gosh. And then 2 months later, he's dating the prettiest girl in school. You're like, how? How did that happen? I don't understand. He was so confident that this girl who sees his face sees how he's out of shape, and they're like, maybe there's something to him. Because he's convinced himself he's amazing, so that rubs off on other people, and so they see them as amazing. You ever? This happens to me sometimes. I go to the mall, and I'm like, okay, how is that dude with her? I mean, has this ever happened to you? You're like, I don't understand, right? You're like, there's just no way. She's clearly legally blind. I don't understand how this is happening. But that guy's got confidence. And I understand this look because this is what happens when I go to the mall with my wife. They're like, how in the world is she with him? Right. And so, but I just want to encourage you. What we're saying is your own view of you changes everything. And so if you view yourself in a positive light, it will rub off on others as well. Now, this is another one. Let me say this. Numbers 14. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and said, if only we had died in Egypt. What? We should have stayed in Egypt, man. It was so much better there. Like, let me remind you, you were slaves. You were beat for no reason. You had to work like a slave, literally, all day. And all you got for it was a little slop of food, not a paycheck. And yet you're saying you missed that? Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, I'm pretty sure if you were enslaved and you were freed, you wouldn't go, I really miss that. I want to go back. You'd be like, what is wrong with you, right? That's crazy. So look at this. Or in this wilderness, they said, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us die? First of all, God didn't say that. God said, I have a promised land for you. Go check it out. And he didn't say, oh, and by the way, I'm going to have you die, though. He doesn't say that. He promised them they're going to live in the promised land. Then he goes on, our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Again, they're just making stuff up now. They're just like, yeah, and this is going to happen. I'm going to die. And my wife and children. I mean, again, wow. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt, they said. And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. I love that line. They're like, we just need better leadership, right? Aren't we in that season of choosing leaders right now, right? And you're like, oh, if this person's in office, it'll be great. The other person, it's the end of democracy. I love that line. I'm like, well, if we vote, that actually is democracy. So no, it's not the end. I know we need to fix some holes, right? Doesn't mean it's the end of democracy. But I want to challenge you. I need to break something to you. Even if your person, whoever that is, gets in office, your life will be better or worse 4 years from now based upon what you choose to do, not what someone else has chosen for you. You hear my heart here? You can make your life better either way. Based upon your vote, there could be more obstacles, right? So I'm not suggesting it doesn't matter. It does. But just keep that in mind. Where is your fear preventing you from remembering how God has also come through for you in the past? So they're like, we should just go back to Egypt. And they're like, you mean the place where God freed us? You mean from the people that God opened the sea, we ran through it, and then God swallowed them up to protect us? We're supposed to go back there? Like, what are you thinking, right? In the same way, this is important. Number five, fear dreads the future so much, it glamorizes the past. This is the person who is always like, man, it was so good in the early 2000s. Oh, it was so great in the 90s. It was so great in the 80s, the 70s, whatever your decade, you're like, oh, man, it was just amazing. It was so much better. Today, everything's going wrong. We have world wars now. The Middle East is in conflict. I mean, we've got all this political divide. People are at each other's throats. It's just, people are so negative. It's just going so bad. Everything's falling apart. So if we just go back in time. Oh, really? Let's talk about going back in time. I just want to put a list behind me and beside me real quick so you can read. All that happened, and we got through it. All that happened, and we're fine. I'm not saying world wars don't affect people, but we've had those before. We've gotten through it, and with great sacrifice. I understand that. But you're here. You stood the test of time. We're still around. We're still going strong. And so I just want to challenge you that maybe going back in time is really not the answer, that there's always been big, giant problems. If you're thinking, oh, when the Middle East has no more conflict, then I'll be good. I hate to break it to you. That hasn't stopped since the time of Jesus. 2,000 years of it, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Just need to let you know. So that's a reality. So fear dreads the future and glamorizes the past. But here's the whole point. If I could bring it down to one thing, here it is. Here's the evidence as to why you should be confident, why you should be faith-filled and not full of fear. Here it is. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes. That means they're upset. They're mad because you're making wrong decisions, what they're saying. And said this, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Notice that they keep focusing on the land and the fruit. Did you notice that? So which one are you focusing on, the giant in front of it or the fruit behind it? You can get through any giant if you focus on the fruit, right? Oh, but he's really big and he's mean. Tell that to David when he had his sling out. Not a problem. He's so big I can't miss. Oh, he's so big, we can't win. No, he's so big, I can't miss. So you can choose faith. And it says this, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Again, they're focused on the fruit. And he will give it to us. Now, don't confuse giving it to you, meaning he literally just says, I'll just take my giant hand and wipe all the people out. There's your land. When God says, that's yours, now you got to do the things to go get it. Okay? I want to challenge you with that. Just go get it. And then he says this, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid. Oh, whoa. God just tied two things together that really may change the game for you. He said, you're rebelling against God when you're fearful. Oh, I thought it was just a personality or a character trait. And God says, no. Yeah, some of you I gave the gift of discernment and you should use that, but that should not lead you into being afraid of everything. When you do that, what you're really saying when you're afraid, you're saying, God, I don't think you're big enough. I don't think you can turn this around. I don't think you can handle it, God. God's like, really? I built the whole world and the solar systems. I freed you in past situations you got through, right? We all have things like that. We're like, oh, man, God came through. So God came through in the past. He's like, why do you think I'm changing now? I'm going to come through again for you. Look at God's track record. He comes through. And so he says, don't rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. And he says, their protection is gone, but the Lord is with you. There it is. That's the evidence you need. You can get through this. The Lord is with you. I got this legal complication. The Lord is with you. I got people coming at me. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You got this. God has got you in the palm of his hand, and he, listen, if someone attacks you, you may get mad, but when someone attacks your kids, oh, I bet Mama Bear comes out, right? Like daddy gets mad, you get, whoa, it's another level. You can come at me, that's fine. You come at my wife or my children, you won't see Pastor Bill at that time. I just need to let you know, in case I'm ever needing to be bailed out of jail, there's good reason. Someone's coming at my kids or my grandchild, right? Someone's coming after my family. And so I just want to encourage you that, think about that. The enemy is not coming after God. He's coming after God's kids. Now what do you think God's going to do? He's like, oh, I can make some swallowing up happen. And by the way, he did that later on. But God did it. I just want to challenge you. God is on your side. And so I want to do this. I shortened a verse for you to give it more power for you. Here it is. Here's a verse, Philippians 4:13. Say this with me. I can through him. I can through him. Turn to your neighbor and say this loudly. You can through him. You can through him. You may want to take this sentence. You may want to take it and move them out a little bit, put a blank line there and say, I can overcome this difficulty through him. I can get through this divorce through him. I can overcome in this legal battle through him. I can face my boss through him. I can, as a single mom, go into night school, get through this through him. I can handle my debt and pay this off through him. You name what you need, God says, if I'm with you, if I'm with you, if I'm with you, oh, come on now, if I'm with you, if I'm really with you, then you can do it. You got this. Now, right now, last question I'm going to say. Let's all bow our heads. There's one real important question, though. Is he with you? Is he with you? If you doubt whether he's with you, let me just ask you a simple question. Was there a time in your life, any time in the past, that you remember being told the truth of Jesus Christ, you realized you needed him, and you prayed a prayer? Something like this, Jesus, come in my heart. Something like this, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I give you my life. Something like that. Then he's with you. But if you've not done that, he's around you, speaking to you, trying to woo you, like the Bible talks about, where the Holy Spirit speaks to you, to convict you, to bring you to him. But he's not in you yet. So let's seal the deal. Let's make this happen. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if you're facing a big enemy in your life, a big crisis, a big situation, a big problem, and you don't have Jesus, I just want to tell you, man, good luck. I mean, I hope it goes well, but I don't have a lot of confidence for you. But if you receive Jesus, then you got this. Because you have the most powerful entity in the world. Not only beside you, you have him in you. And he will fight your battles. Would you pray this prayer with me? If you never received Christ, pray this prayer at all of our campuses right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I know you died for my sin. And you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. be my Lord, be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head bowed, right close. If you just received Christ, would you lift your hand high right now? No one's looking around. Just raise your hand high. You say, I just did that, Pastor, and now I know he is within me. Praise God. We see your hands right now, Portland. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport. Hold those hands high. Let's go, Padre Island. Praise God. Thank you, Stone Oak, Rodfield. Praise God. Those in our prison ministry, hold your hand high. God sees you, and you've received him. You're a part of his family, and the Lord sticks up for his kids. He will help you. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth, the simple truth, God, that with you, I got this. Thank you, God, because I know that means you got this. Thank you, Lord. I choose to look at my situation, my problem, my struggle with faith, and you'll lead me through. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Woo! His word is so true. Well, guys, it's offering time here at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. I'm going to invite a friend of mine up here. This is Colin Armstrong. Come on out, Colin. This is a buddy of mine, and he's a faithful member here of the church. Come on out here. Appreciate you being here. I'll answer the first question all the young ladies are asking. Yes, he's single. Okay, let me move on. Colin, first of all, how'd you find Church Unlimited? How'd you end up here?
Well, I actually found out about Church Unlimited the day that I moved to Corpus Christi. I was driving down Rodfield, looked off to my left in my Penske truck and saw the Rodfield campus sitting there. And I saw the building and was like, you know what? That looks a lot like a building that my church from Alabama would build. So I'm going to go check them out on Sunday. And then found out about our young adults group, Devo, that we have on Wednesday nights. Met Pastor Mason and the rest is history.
I love that. I love that. You know, I know you're super involved in the church. I mean, this guy, you'll see him everywhere doing stuff. But you also are a giver. You know, and I know it's a private thing, so thank you for letting me kind of out you on that, right? But it's a wonderful thing that you give. I just want to ask, why do you give, and what does that look like for you?
You know, for a while in my young adult life, I didn't tithe. I didn't tithe at all. I was skeptical. I didn't know, you know, if I really trusted where my money was going to and whether it was actually being sowed into the kingdom or not. Yep. But what I would do in those times is I would still give whenever I felt the Holy Spirit moving on my heart in a service or for a certain ministry, whatever it may be. I would still enter into this dialogue with God and find out a number that I had peace with and then give in the midst of that. But since then, I've been able to come back around and implement the tithe as a discipline, as a consistent discipline in my life, just telling God, all right, Lord, here is the first tenth of the harvest that you've planted in my life personally, the seeds that you've sown, because that's not from me, that's from you, and just wanting to give that back to him. So that's what my tithe has looked like now.
You know, I just want to say this. You're young, you're new in your career. I know you're going to eventually be flying jets for the Navy, which is amazing. But you're kind of in a training season, so I know it does pay, but the pay's not crazy. And it's really encouraging, I think, for young people to be like, oh, wait, okay, he's new in his career. He's young. He's not earning the big bucks yet. But he's tithing anyways. So I love the faith of that, to say, no, this is what God asked me to do, or commands me to do. I'm going to do it. And I love that. You actually give above and beyond the tithe, which is really cool. And because you talked about how there's time still that you do that. And that's the difference. Because some people think they're tithing, but tithing is the first 10% of all you earn. You're actually not giving an offering until you give above that. And so we actually have a new ministry we're doing here. It's really cool. That comes out of your church, by the way, in Alabama. Well, this is your church now, right? But it comes out of Alabama. Lee Domingue, you used to hang out with his boys, started this thing, and we call it Legacy here. And under his leadership helping us do this, it's basically for those who have the gift of generosity to give above and beyond their tithe, you know, to get more information. Because one thing I can tell you about people who want to give, they want to give, but they want to know where it's going. And that's a fair question. So we actually have a way for you to get more information if that's something that interests you. Not everyone wants that detail, and I get that. But if you have the gift of giving, you probably do, and that's great. And so above and beyond the tithe. But either way, you know, I want to thank you for your challenge for us to let go of our skepticism and trust the Lord and trust his church. That doesn't mean you don't check things out. By all means, I think you should do that. That's great. But you trust the Lord. You release the tithe, and even when God says, I want more, you do it. And so you guys give it up for Colin. What a great guy. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Have a feeling we're going to have a new high attendance at Devo this week. So anyways, let's take a moment to pray. Every head bowed and eye closed. I just want to encourage you today, maybe for you it's a step of faith to say, wow, I've never actually done this. So just giving something is better than giving nothing. So Lord, by faith, I'm going to do this. I'm scared, but I'm going to give something. Or maybe you say, yeah, I give something sometimes, but I need to increase that. Or maybe you say, I'm kind of a little here and there, but I need to just finally take that step of faith and tithe, full 10%, which may seem scary, but watch God do his wonders in your life if you trust him like that. And of course, some even say, you know what? I want to go above and beyond. I believe that God has that calling in my life. Lord, we thank you, God, wherever we're at in this process, we just want to live by faith and trust you. So we open our hands to you and say, God, here is our tithe. And for some, here is our above tithe offering. We just trust you today. Please bless this and multiply it. And God, we do ask you, as your word says we can, to bless your people because we're faithful to you. Thank you, God, that we can do that. Thank you for the privilege it is to give to you. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you for giving. We're grateful. Thank you, guys.